The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 296, entitled How to Heal Your Emotional Issues and Trauma with Ayahuasca, I chat with Michael Thornhill. Michael Thornhill is the co-founder and curandero with Casa Galactica, channeling and plant spirit healing in Peru. In today's episode, Michael talks about how he uses plant medicines, mainly ayahuasca, to heal people of their emotional issues and traumas. He discusses how he conducts ayahuasca ceremonies, what it's like taking ayahuasca, how it works, and what the whole experience is like when you're using it. Michael discusses everything you need to know about ayahuasca and the healing powers it contains in this fascinating chat. If you're wondering what it's like using plant medicines to heal, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. The best self-help book ever written has now become the best self-help audiobook ever recorded. Go to elitemindbook.com to pick yourself up Elite Mind, the audiobook, today on Audible. It's also available on iTunes and all the other platforms that have audiobooks where you listen to them on. It's on there as well. Pick yourself up Elite Mind. I'm telling you, this book and audiobook, if you haven't gotten the paperback or Kindle yet, will change your life. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is Michael Thornhill, the founder of CasaGalactica.com. Michael, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, Justin. Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, as I mentioned a moment ago to you, man, you're right now in Peru, which I actually have family from Peru in South America. Not too many people know about it, but it is one of the places in all of the world that's kind of the leader in ayahuasca and sort of the plant medicine and a lot of the spiritual healing. You're not actually originally from there, but you've been living there for the past 4 years. Can you just talk for a moment about how you got into living in Peru, first of all, and then like the work you're doing and why you're there?
Absolutely. Well, firstly, Peru, just on its own, take ayahuasca, everything out of the equation, Peru is just one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been in the entire world. You've got the jungle, you've got beaches, and you've got the mountains, where I'm actually currently in Pisac in Cusco at the minute in the Sacred Valley. If anyone doesn't know that, think of Machu Picchu, and it's just kind of down the road from there. And as you mentioned, with plant medicine and ayahuasca, we work providing plant spirit healing retreats, ayahuasca healing retreats. And here in Peru, plant medicine is completely 100% legal. And it's actually a heritage that's looked after and it's protected here in Peru. So for us and the work that we do, and for many people who come and visit us here, this is just such a hub that also the plant medicines grow naturally here in the rainforest. And it's our home. We've made it our home and it's so beautiful. But ask me 5 years ago, did I think I'd be living in Peru? And, you know, I don't think I ever would have thought about coming here. Yeah. But I was working in a business. I was working in headhunting or recruitment. I was really successful. I'd worked in that job for about 7 years or so. And then I started my own company. And I was doing renewable energy recruitment, and I kind of started having a bit of a spiritual awakening where we started giving money to charity. We were like, let's give back, let's work in renewable energy, let's see what we can do. And that was kind of a beginning opening for me. But then I realized that even though that my heart was in the right place, my mind was still scattered. I was addicted to a lot of drugs. I was succumbed to the pressure of the kind of rat race of a lot of the business pressure to succeed. And, you know, I was like, the pressure was good for me in that sense that it made me very successful at what I did. I earned a lot of good money, but I was really unhappy on the inside. And I didn't really know that at the time because I was just drinking, doing drugs, partying, DJing, all that stuff. So I started to have a spiritual awakening after my mother passed, and I started to question life a little bit more about 5 years ago. I was like, you know, is this really the life that I want? And I started to question life and death and really what I was doing with my life. And I'd never really wanted to live past 30 because I was just kind of like, let's just do it. I don't care. Subsequently, it was because of a lot of trauma. Anyway, I decided to drink ayahuasca after a recommendation that someone told me ayahuasca can help with addictions and it can give you a big spiritual awakening. You can connect with a higher power or God, something that I was just like, yeah, whatever you're saying. But I feel like that it's going to help me with addictions. Long story short, I drank ayahuasca and I had what you might call a spiritual awakening, or a deep recognition that there were fundamental things in my life that were not good for me. Lots of work, pressure, drugs, and being really sad inside and not really being able to talk about it or really knowing the avenues or outlets as a man to be able to speak about those things. And I subsequently went traveling. I went to India, I went to Nepal, and I went and signed up for 10 weeks of an ayahuasca initiation course, which led me to studying with the plant medicines more and more, because after the first ayahuasca ceremonies, I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, I stopped doing drugs, and it was just like an immediate, wow, okay, something's got to change, and it was a big relief. But there were many more layers to that. So I ended up being in the jungle. I ended up training here in the Shipibo tradition of Corindorismo. The Shipibo tradition is a tribe of people here, indigenous people who are experts within ayahuasca and plant spirit healing. And working with them helped me to uncover deep levels of trauma, sexual abuse, and to be able to heal myself and to understand that there was more to life than the life that I was living. Anyway, I stayed out here training, working in an organization. And then later I met my now wife here. We got married and then we started Casa Galactica, running our own healing programs, channeling and plant spirit healing programs out here in Peru, where we work offering plant spirit healing retreats, Know Your Hour initiation deities, which is training in the tradition. And then we also do a lot of online intuitive work and channeling work, which is basically being in contact with spirit and helping people to heal. And yeah, we love it here. I'm very grateful. It's been a wild ride. It's not been easy. Definitely had its challenges along the way. But in a snapshot, that's how I've landed.
Loved it. That's awesome, man. Such a good, cool story. I want to dive. I mean, this episode is going to primarily focus on the ayahuasca and the plant healing stuff. But you mentioned something very interesting at the end, which is the channeling and connecting with spirits. Is that something you picked up from doing the plant work and the medicine, or is that some kind of intuitive gift that you or say your wife had for many years and you just kind of been doing it lately?
Well, for me, it happened as I was healing trauma throughout work with the plant medicines and an interest in learning it. And the thing is that everybody can channel, everybody's intuitive, everybody has access to that information. And it's just something that we've forgotten and that everybody can do. So the idea of someone saying that they're gifted, yeah, people can be more open to it. My wife was certainly more open to it than me, and she'd been doing it for a while before she met me. But that was something that I was just like, yeah, I want to learn this. And then I just took steps to do it and then developed. So yeah, it's something that we can all do. And I actually teach that online as well. Yeah, it's magical.
Yeah. Do you need to take the plant medicines? Do you need to take ayahuasca at some point or any of these, say, hallucinogenic therapies, medicines, to be able to tap into the channeling side and like remember, like you said, that people forget? Do they need to do the plant medicines to then remember how to do it?
Great question. No, it's not necessary to take any plant medicines or psychedelics or entheogens or anything like that to be able to connect with spirit and speak with spirit. It can be learned completely without any of that. However, ayahuasca and these plant medicines can be a great catalyst for us to have that experience whilst taking a plant medicine to show that there is a spirit world. Because I remember the first time I drank ayahuasca and there's all these spirits coming around and I was like, hold on, I thought I was a human and I worked in an office. So this kind of like, there was like, okay, this is this whole other world. So when you experience that with plant medicines, yeah, it can be really eye-opening and definitely was a catalyst for me in wanting to learn how to do this. But no, you don't need to, but yes, it can help and facilitate that.
Gotcha. That's really cool. I'm very interested in that channeling thing as well. I'll be honest though. I'm kind of like, I've done so many supplements and herbs and medicines and all kinds of things over the years, but I am actually one of the people that's pretty nervous about taking something like ayahuasca, psychedelic. What is it like actually being on it? And are there actual real fears and concerns that you, as someone who's done it many times, still have to think about while you're doing it?
Yeah, great question. So drinking ayahuasca can be, if anyone has taken mushrooms, like magic mushrooms or psilocybin, it can be described as similar to that, but it's not the same, it's different. So when you drink ayahuasca, after about 20 minutes or so, you'll start to feel an effect in the body, and it can be, you can start to feel warm or perhaps cold, and you can start to feel yourself going into an altered state. So anyone who perhaps has smoked marijuana, or even if it's just been drinking alcohol, you know that feeling of you going into an altered state. But it's very different to anything that I've just described. And then you can start to have an expanded state, which allows you to feel sensations in your body more clearly, feel emotions more clearly, and to get in touch perhaps with past repressed memories. You can also have an experience of feeling oneness, connected to the universe, creator, or God, whatever you might want to call that for whatever your experience is. And then perhaps you may feel auditory communication with spirits. You may have intuition or knowings about things about your life that perhaps weren't exactly as they are, or you can experience past traumas, perhaps take a breakup with a partner, and then just experience and feel that pain and then heal it, because perhaps it was trapped in the body and it helps us to go back and say, oh, you know, I didn't really fully feel that. And then you can have the more psychedelic experience, perhaps more visions of going into other worlds, of understandings and knowledge from the universe being downloaded, you might say, is a word that I don't really like to use, but that's kind of like a good way to kind of describe it, of information coming into your system. It can be just knowings. It can be an intelligent conversation. You can see things. You can remember things. You can feel things. And you can have this very kind of outside of the body or more expanded than the body experience where you feel, oh my gosh, there's something more than this. The first time that I drank ayahuasca, I had an experience of feeling these other beings and energies working with me, showing me the reason why that I'd incarnated here on Earth, and it definitely wasn't to be in recruitment for my whole life, and that there was more to life than the drinking and the drugs that I was doing. And it was, to describe it, it was just like, I didn't know where this information was coming from, but something beyond my mind, I knew that it was true and it all made sense. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay, I feel that with my whole body, it's true. And something cleaned and changed with me. So in that sense, whatever you're coming into the medicine for, you're going to get an experience that is for your highest benefit of healing. It could be physical healing, it could be mental healing, it could be emotional healing, it can be a spiritual awakening. And more often than not, it's a combination of all those things. In terms of a fear before drinking ayahuasca, I would say the biggest fear that came up for me was, okay, I've seen all those things about my life now. The identity which I had identified with for so long, that perhaps society had told me, my parents, all these other things that I'd learned, I can see now that identity that I've created and that I'm holding on to so strongly and that means so much to me, I'm going to have to let that go to find a glimpse of that happiness that I'd experienced on the medicine. And that's scary when we've invested so much time in our company, our business, the way we look, the way we behave, the things we do, our friendship groups. So that being a fear state of okay, a change is coming. It's going to be for the highest good of me, but how do I get there? And that's what an integration process is really about. We can talk more about that later, perhaps. But in terms of fears now, the fears I have are perhaps about seeing more trauma that I've not seen, because I've seen so much trauma going through my body, and it's less of a fear now, more than just like, perhaps I could describe it as a way that may be accessible to people, would be like, perhaps you're going to go and play a sport game. You know that when you go out there on the field, it's going to be an enjoyable experience, but you know that you might get hit hard. You know that you might get a couple of bruises along the way. It could be difficult, but the whole experience yourself, it is going to be one of the benefit and the one that you're up for. But you can have some of those nerves, like those pre-match, those pre-game nerves. I would describe that more as an accurate representation of where I'm at now.
Yeah. So those are a lot of good points. And there's a few things I want to go back to in a few moments. But one of the things that I was kind of actually, so you brought out a lot of good points, and you were talking about the fears, which I didn't even think of in that sense. But what I was actually, and it's good though, because you're making me think about a lot of other things now, and I want to follow up on them. But actually what I was referring to initially was the fears of like side effects of like shit going wrong, because say you take a wrong amount of dosage, or you take a plant that's not right, really quite the plant that you thought it was. Or like, are there any fears surrounding people getting sick, or people say taking ayahuasca and like going mentally to a different place and then never coming back as like the same person like they were before? I actually know people, a couple of people that say allegedly, and I believe it to be true, but allegedly smoked like laced marijuana at some point, and then they fucking went off the deep end and they were never the same mentally again. They were never that same person again, because something happened upstairs, and you know, whatever really happened, who knows, but something got messed up. Are there fears, concerns, like side effects related to that type of thing, or anything like similar?
Great question. For us, that's not a fear that we have when we've accepted someone onto our retreat, because we have such a stringent safety protocol and application process that looks at trauma history, that looks at medical history. There is a diet, there is making sure that people are off medications. So there's a whole checklist and protocol that we have for the highest safety of anyone who comes to us. And then we give proper preparation, help and guide, preparation calls to help people prepare mentally, emotionally, physically to come to the retreat. And we've got so much content and videos on our website that we let everybody know what you're getting into. So similar to kind of if you were going to a hospital, and you go into a hospital full of trained professionals, there may be a fear that, okay, you know, we're going into a hospital. It may be difficult. It may be tough. There may be a recovery period in terms of my own healing process, but we trust all of our staff that are trauma informed and trained, and our safety procedures, all first aid trained, and have really strict safety procedures and protocols in the very unlikely event that something that was unable for us to handle on retreat were to happen. We have like, you know, A, B and C plans. Mm-hmm. So because of that protocol, because that we're trained, that we work in the tradition of Shipibo Kurinderismo, we're working in a ceremonial setting where we monitor how much ayahuasca is given to people, working with the Icaros, which are the healing songs in the Shipibo traditional language. There are procedures and protocols and healing modalities that help moderate the level that you're in the ayahuasca. And if someone does have a really tough experience, you're not just like left on your own. That can be when people have tough experiences, is when they have perhaps this kind of like out of body experience, but they're not looked after, they're not cared for. So if someone's having a tough experience, remembering trauma, or they feel like this is too much, then we have ways of bringing people down. And then we're also there to hold your hand if we need to stay with you until you're out of the medicine, until you're in a normal level of consciousness that you're feeling good. So no, I have complete trust in our care processes, and it's one of the most important things to us, and that we have put so much time, effort and care into, so that people can come to Peru, to the Amazon rainforest, and feel safe and secure and have a transformative experience without the risk of being re-traumatized in that way. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for that question.
No, thank you for answering it. Cause I like it, that's always been in the back of my mind. Like I would love to do this at some point. And you know, if I get brave enough one day, I probably will do it, But in the back of my mind too, it's like, you know, I've heard of bad experiences and shit happening in the past, and I know like stuff can go down. It kind of reminds me too of like skydiving. There's like a 99.99% chance when you skydive, you're going to be safe. But then you always hear of like those horror stories of the, you know, one person whose backup parachute didn't open and then they got fucking creamed when they, you know, came down to the ground. And it does happen. But I think the safer you are and you have, you know, plan B, plan C, plan D, these all fallback procedures, you can make it pretty damn safe. And when you have guys like you who kind of explain it all, it makes people like me feel a lot safer in the future when we want to go and try to like do something like that. I did want to follow up too on something you mentioned as far as like the healing goes. When you're in this process, you're healing different traumas, things that are popping up. Do you think it's the fact that you're like experiencing those traumas and like you mentioned before, like a breakup or something similar to that, where you're able to like fully experience that emotion and then you're able to get past it because of the feeling of it? Or do you think it's because you're in an altered state of mind where maybe you're looking at the problem differently, your mind sees it differently, and then you're able to kind of think about the solution differently, as whereas before you couldn't really think that way?
Are you sure you've not drank ayahuasca? It sounds like you've got a pretty good understanding of how trauma healing works. But yeah, I would say it's a combination of those two. So Peter Levine, who developed somatic experiencing, talks very much, and this is some processes and techniques that we work with about helping trauma leave the body, is that when a traumatic event occurs, we store that memory within our body. So beyond our mind, and that's what a repressed memory is, really, is something that's perhaps not consciously remembered by the mind, but the body remembers that. And there's a book called Body Knows the Score as well that talks more in depth about that. And so when you're experiencing the ayahuasca or in the ceremony, then the healing songs, the spirits, the ayahuasca, the plant medicines that are all part of that whole experience that help do the healing with the curandero, the shaman, this helps that energy to leave the body so that it no longer needs to be stored within the body, so that that body can be free to experience something else. And in many cases, that being love, compassion, kindness, or something of a more positive nature than a trauma stored in the body. Simultaneously, as you're feeling, experiencing, this is what's really great about ayahuasca that can catalyze perhaps some of those other trauma healing modalities, perhaps like somatic experiencing, where you're going into the body and you're feeling it and releasing it. But with ayahuasca, because you're having such an in-depth experience of feeling it, going back to that place, and it's not like you're necessarily meditating to get there, it's like it's happening to you, you're back there, then you can see it and experience it and feel it in a different way. And the intelligence of the plants speak with you, help you to understand, reframe, and then also rewire the brain so that perhaps that when you experience a similar situation again in the future, you're not having a traumatic response, but you've healed and then are able to react emotionally to something different in the present moment, if that makes sense.
This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys guaranteed to upgrade your life. My favorite Box of Awesome box is the Weekender box, and I have to say, this is one of the nicest bags I've ever owned. The special edition Weekender bag is durable, beautifully crafted, and built to last. It's a head turner and will be a conversation starter wherever you bring it, and trust me, you'll be bringing this bag everywhere you go. And given the current situation and climate, it's tough to get your hands on a very durable and beautifully crafted bag like this. Trust me, they are incredibly hard to come by, but the Weekender bag has you covered. But all of their boxes are incredible. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I personally can't wait to check out the Alchemy Box because I want to stock up my home with the pro level cocktail wares they got. It really looks incredible. And the flip box, because it has a gorgeous folding knife made of Damascus steel, and the knife holder is beautiful as well. Wait till you see this thing. You're going to love it too. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers actually help them pick the right box for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. So get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code ELITEMAN at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code ELITEMAN, for 20% off your first box.
So I actually talked to Tucker Max about this too. He's done a lot of psychedelics and stuff like that. And he mentioned something, there's even like a phrase, you might know the phrase, but he mentioned some type of phrase where it's like, when you do it, it opens up a sort of a window, like a purgatory of sorts of opportunity to make changes. So it almost like it cleanses out the old past emotion for X amount of time. Maybe it's like, say, a week or two. And then you have like that period of time to then create like a new response to that prior emotion. And that's where you can like fix things. And then it sort of like closes though. If you don't make any changes in your life thereafter, you'll still get that problem, but you have like time to then change it and like solve whatever area of your life that was causing problems. And like, that's a part of the healing as well. Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah. I how we describe it here is we describe that processes are like automatic, semi-automatic, and manual experiences. So in an ayahuasca ceremony, you may have an automatic healing, perhaps of like a problem with your joint, and a pain is relieved, and then something gets cleaned out of the joint, and then you're like, oh my gosh, my shoulder is feeling better. And that's great. That's just an automatic healing. Something's clean, something in the muscle memory has changed, and your body's like, great, I don't feel pain there anymore. But then a semi-automatic experience may be like, oh, well, I experienced a clean out in my body, or I've like purged out this energy in my body. But then if you kind of just go and start drinking alcohol and doing drugs again straight away afterwards, then that healing's not going to be long lasting. But you may experience something like a semi-automatic of, okay, I cleaned this out of my body. I think I'm going to eat healthier and I'm going to drink less. And then I'm going to create a more of a healthy life for myself. So then that starts to implement those changes, and the body starts to heal itself because its natural healing environment is something that is optimum for its natural maintenance. And then a manual experience may be, okay, I've seen that there's something wrong in my body. I should go to a doctor and get that checked out. Or I should go and speak to someone about it. Or perhaps it's my posture. I need to go and do some yoga or something like that to help implement my posture change, which would be more of a manual experience. So yeah, that's really what we describe as the integration process, that you can have really healing experiences in the ayahuasca ceremony, but for long-lasting change, it's going to be about making changes in your life that reflect that level of healing which you've experienced. And that's why I would say, in terms of the fear of like, okay, I'm going to go in and drink medicine, am I going to be prepared to make those changes that reflect who I really want to be? And that fear of letting go of who you're really not, because we identify so much with this character that we've built about ourselves.
Yeah. And all the masks we put on for so many years and worn. And yeah, it's a tough time to get past all that and kind of shed that old you to become somebody else. It's kind of a bit of a philosophical question. And I do want a moment before I forget, I do want to dive into the process of like what it's like from step one to step whatever, X to Z or XYZ, of like how the process works of getting through this experience, of what it looks like and what people would expect if they came in like to your retreat in Peru and were able to do this with you. I want to go through that process in a second, but I do want to ask you a philosophical type of question first. And that is, what do you actually think is going on when you're in this actual space, this sort of headspace of leaving what we see right now? And I'm looking at you doing the interview, and then what we're in, or what you're in when you've done these psychedelics, and what do you think is actually really happening, and how can you explain that to somebody like me who's never done that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I would say the experience is like going to a spiritual hospital. So you go to a hospital with spiritual beings and plants that do lots of different work on your body, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And then, like, if you were doing a detox or a cleanse, you come out on the other side clearer, healthier, and really more like who you really are. Because you think about a detox, you shed all that those toxins and those things that are no longer useful for you, and then you can then put on new muscle mass with kind of healthy cells, with good food and those things. So sit, like going to a spiritual hospital and then being able to reprogram the way the brain works in a way that perhaps is similar to like 20 years of psychotherapy that you could do, or 20 years of meditation, because of the plant medicine, because of the way it works and the healing songs, that enables you to make those changes, those like psychological and emotional changes, much more quicker and effective, and with a greater chance of you holding onto that new way of being. So it's really a change of the way that you perceive yourself and show up in the world through the experience of going through a spiritual hospital, getting your brain rewired, seeing yourself more clearly, and then becoming more of who you really are. And it's a catalytic process that lasts beyond the ayahuasca ceremony. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think it does. It does. So do you think, though, that when we take these psychedelics, that we're actually literally like our spirits are traveling to a different place, like a different sort of dimension of sorts? Or do you think it's that we're in the same place, everything's still the same, it's just our mind is changing for whatever chemical reason? It's like kind of changing and making us sort of obviously hallucinate this whole thing. And then that leads to what, because whatever the real process of it and how it works, I don't think really, I'm just kind of curious, but I don't think it really matters as much as the fact that you're seeing results by doing this type of thing. And then the end result is what you really want. But I think it is very curious and interesting to kind of see what people who've done it feel like is actually going on.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I would say is that when we take this plant medicine, the sacred plant medicine, ayahuasca in a ceremonial setting, or other people who work with psychedelics in a ceremonial way, that we're actually experiencing the truth of existence, that more of the truth of what life's really about, and that this 3D reality is a veil that we experience to learn lessons in physical reality. So that veil, that kind of like blindfold of the spiritual world, of the connectedness to the universe, the creator, is lifted, so that in those settings we get to experience that. And yeah, our spirits can travel into different dimensions, but we and to different places, but we get to experience multidimensionality, our own multidimensionality, in a way that perhaps we going into it, and I can speak to this myself, when I went into it, I didn't believe any of that. So if you try to tell me that now, so if someone's out there listening and has never drank ayahuasca or is not into spirituality in this way, is listening, is like, I don't believe that. I get you. I totally wouldn't believe me either 5 years ago. But as the question is, it's just, I would say it's just that realization more of the truth of, you know, who we are, perhaps why we're here, and the true nature of reality, existence, those types of thing. And throughout that process, the aforementioned healing can occur as well.
Yeah. Do you think, so where do you think the actual ayahuasca plant came from? Do you think it, like, you know, not getting super religious or anything, but do you think that's like something God or the creator of the universe has put on this planet for us to be able to say, get in contact with them or the spirit world when we need to in different part? Like, do you think it's part of that? Or do you think it's just happens to be a random thing that just so happens to, you know, put us in the state of mind that we can connect to that?
Sure. Well, my belief is that everything that we experience is God, that everything that we experience is creator. So therefore there is a reason and a purpose for it. But more interestingly, and this has come through in several channeling sessions, ayahuasca plant medicine is a technology to help us remember the truth of who we are, to help us get on path for why we've incarnated, why we have come here to Earth, whatever it is that we want to do. Now, similarly, there are other technologies, spiritual technologies like yoga, like qigong, like meditation, that can be something that help us remember through those experiential spiritual experiences. And ayahuasca is one technology that is here as one of the tools within a tool belt for help us to come into alignment with who we truly are.
Yeah. Here's kind of a, I don't know, I guess a sort of rhetorical question, but why do you think that, why do you think we forget in the first place? Why do we have that disconnect with the spiritual world when we come into this world in the first place? Do you think there's a reason behind that?
Absolutely. And this has come through in other spiritual texts and our channeling experiences for ourselves, that we incarnate in Earth time as an experience of great learning, of moving from separation back to unity. So moving from us being separated, the idea of war, the idea of poverty, all those things, to coming back to a unity consciousness. And through experiencing that, we are able to learn much quicker through the forgetfulness of the fact that we are all conscious beings, that we are all spiritual beings, that we're all connected to God, that we all are God in some sense or shape or form, if that makes sense. So we have incarnations in other worlds, in other times, in other lifetimes where we have not forgotten. And in fact, that the human consciousness was incarnating as humans while still remembering a period of time. But because it took so long for us to learn the lessons that we came here, because we're like, oh yeah, but I am God and I'm connected to God and everything's all connected. When you kind of don't forget that, it's difficult to understand and learn those experiences of forgiveness, of compassion, of love and kindness. So this reality that we experience is a playground for us to experience great spiritual growth that would not be possible in the same way if we remembered before we incarnated. So it's a conscious choice that we make before we come here. Many people will be like, you know, I didn't choose to come here. This is crazy. What's going on in the world right now? But it is something that we all collectively agreed to come and experience. And there are other experiences to us available. So it doesn't mean that we're always going to be incarnating here on Earth and having these same experiences of amnesia.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting topic. And I tend to believe what you're saying as well. It seems like you say it not as a belief, but as like a knowing. And I've heard that as well. Like when I talk to Tucker and a couple other people, it's like, it's hard to explain different things that you've seen and you experience while doing the hallucinogenic or the psychedelics. But, you know, to someone who's never done it, but to them, when they're explaining it, and it sounds like, you know, when you're explaining it now, it's not like you're trying to convince anybody or that you're saying like, yeah, I now believe this. It's now like you just have these things, like you mentioned even before, these knowingness of things, like, you know, it's this way, you know, it's that way. And it's tough to kind of translate that to someone like me, for instance, who's never experienced that, because, you know, what I know is what I see right now, but I've obviously never gone to that place that you've gone to.
Absolutely. And I think one way analogy would be to say someone who perhaps has lived in one country their whole life and they've experienced a way of being. It's like, okay, great. I go to Walmart. I do this. I do that. I go to my job here. And then perhaps say you go to Nepal or India and you see a different way of life. And you're like, oh my gosh, people don't work the whole time. There's something out there. These people actually seem pretty happy. And then you try doing some of the stuff that they've done. And then you're like, oh, I get it. I'm not my mind. I'm more than this. And then you can experientially say, oh, that works for me. But the beauty about plant medicines, the beauty about channeling, the beauty about all this work that we do is to offer people experientially a chance to choose something different. We're not here trying to tell anyone that it is different. We are here opening doors for people to have their own experience. And we don't have an investment per se in whether you believe it or not. It's just that we are there to give you the experience of whatever it is that you need to be able to see and understand things for yourself and then make your own choices. But as you were saying, when you experience these things in an integrative way, in a retreat setting, then there are different changes that begin to happen within the body, the mind, and the spirit that help you to feel and understand, know that perhaps something different is available to the life that we have been living. And that's been a choice, conscious choice of me understanding, experiencing things that were beyond my understanding, and then making new choices to align with those. And then afterwards, not because someone's told me that's better for me, just like, okay, I can feel I'm fundamentally more happy and healthier now following that information, you know, tuning into those experiences that I've had. I feel like a better person, and I feel more aligned, happy, and relaxed every day through experiences that I've had with plant medicines and other spiritual practices, just channeling. So it's a choice. And it's just like you said, I think talking about like looking in different windows, there's different windows and there's different paths, different lives, which you can choose. The same as you choose a job, the same as you choose a tradition, or you choose a place to live. It's just another choice, like moving abroad or going somewhere else. You get to see these things, and then you get to choose if that's something that you want. No one's going to make you do anything different other than yourself.
Nice. So it's very interesting. But like I mentioned before, I want to go through real quick, if you can, if someone comes to you tomorrow, say, or, you know, without COVID and everything, lockdown and everything, just put that aside. If they could come to you tomorrow and go through this process, what does that actually look like? Like, what, how much of that drink are they taking? What are they doing when they first come to you? How long is the actual process of being, say, under the psychedelic or psychedelics, like the hallucinogenic part of it? How long does that actually take? I know it's probably different in their mind, but how long is it really taking in real time? And what's like the follow-up process to make sure that they're okay and coming down from it afterwards?
Absolutely.
I know there's a lot there too, but
yeah, I'll do my best to pack it into five minutes or so. So firstly, if you're coming to contact us and you're interested in doing a retreat, we have so much educational content on our website, videos that we've shot in the jungle explaining things in more depth. So if you want to go and visit the website later, you can see that process without having to do anything and just like check out our videos. We also are available for free consultations. If someone's interested and like, hey, I'm interested in ayahuasca, but I'm a bit scared, or do you have that? You just do free consultation. So that's the first step. Or perhaps you've gone through that process, you've seen our website, and you're like, yeah, this is great, this is what I want to do. We do a full wellness and screening preparation. There's a big questionnaire talking about mental, emotional, physical history, why you want to come, so that we have a safe application process, which I kind of touched on before. Then we'll be doing so everything's good, everything's great. We'll send you an email back with any questions, let you know if there's any medications and things like that you need to do to come off of, sorry, to make sure you're safe. And then we'll have a follow-up call from that email conversation or whatever it is, going through your application process, answering any questions, giving you process, some of our documents that we have to be able to help you prepare. And then we have everything in our FAQ, where you fly to, all those things. So we make it as simple as possible. Then you get yourself to Iquitos Airport. So Iquitos is in Peru. You fly to Lima, which is where your family's from. And then you take like a two-hour flight up to Iquitos, and then we meet you at the airport. So you don't even have to leave Lima Airport. You're just like, great. So if you've never flown abroad before, or you're like, I don't want to go to Peru, what the hell's going on there? We just meet you at the airport. We take you to the hotel, and then we have an orientation meeting there. We have everything laid out for you. We have a dinner on that night, and then we take you into the jungle the next day on a boat. We take you on a bus, and then a two-hour boat up to the jungle to the retreat center. And you're in the middle of the national reserve, the Amazon rainforest, where you're going to be there taken care of for 2 weeks. And then we have, in a two-week program, we have 6 ayahuasca ceremonies, which is what everyone's wanting to hear about. So ayahuasca ceremonies are about anywhere between 4 to 5 hours, usually, sometimes a little bit longer. And then everyone drinks. We're limited to 12 people. We have Shipibo Curandero. I work as a curandero as well, and we have assistant healers there to help keep you safe. So we have about 5 to 6 healers in every ceremony to 12 people. So everyone's like can get one-on-one attention, everyone throughout the whole ceremony. Everyone drinks the ayahuasca. It takes about 20 minutes to come on, and the effects last anywhere between kind of 2 or 3 hours to maybe 4, 5, or 6 hours generally. And then the whole ceremony, there are ícaros, which are healing songs, which is communication with the plants and spirits, which is in the indigenous Shipibo language, that connect with spirit, and they go and do healing work on the body, and they create a safe space, like a container full of love, of light, so that it's like a safe spaceship, you might have it, to be able to go journey and go deep out that the effect a little bit earlier on. But those ceremonies are used to diagnose and do healings on you in the ceremony. And then we have a whole other bunch of plant medicines that are non-psychoactive, from saunas to purgatives, for things to help you with self-love, arthritis, pains in the body, that we have that all on our website as well, that we give you a personalized treatment plan. We do a consultation with you after the first ayahuasca ceremony and then give you a programmed prescription of plant medicines to help you heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's tailored exactly to you. We have some videos of that online as well. And then through that process, we're also doing yoga, we're doing qigong, meditation, we're teaching different integrative techniques. We have a lovely river nearby, which you can go swimming in, we do a jungle hike, and then we're out there in the middle of the jungle, which is so healing in itself, to be in the national reserve, in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. And that we take care of you, all food, everything included, for that 2 weeks. And we're just on call 24/7. So you need anything after the ceremonies, we're there with you to talk after the ceremonies. We're there to help integrate, to talk about things that have been happening. So we do one-on-one counseling, we do breath work, all these other things to help you start integrating that. And then we start teaching you tools, how to practically make changes in your life if you want to, and how to feel emotions, how to work with these things that are coming up so that you don't have a backlog of these emotions coming up when you go back. You're also learning, how do I deal with stuff as it comes up in day-to-day life? How can I be a more compassionate, loving human through using those techniques to start taking responsibility for how I act or react when people speak to me in this way, or stuff like that? So it's a really jam-packed program. We do 14 additional plant medicines in addition to the ayahuasca. And then we have an integration program included where we do a follow-up. We do a group integration call and a one-on-one integration call, as well as a bunch of material that we give you. And then we're also available for people who want to continue their integration work. We're available for people to purchase more integration sessions there afterwards. And we provide so much free content every month in our newsletter about healing trauma, about integrating, about all these other things, podcasts like this. And we are just there, and we're always open, and we work with people online after the retreats, before and afterwards. So I would say we have a really holistic program to help you go through it, and there's no stone left unturned in the process for you. And we enable you to heal in whichever way that fits for you. When you come, if you don't want to drink all the ayahuasca, you don't have to drink every ceremony. If you don't want to do one of the plant medicines, there's no pressure. If you just want to partake in a little bit, that's totally fine. We just give everyone a choice to partake as much as they want, and we just make sure that everyone is safe and secure throughout the whole process.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible, man. It's very intensive type of program. It seems like you got a lot of things going on, and seems pretty cool. So besides you and your wife, how many other people, and I know they used to do it with like shamans and stuff, and when you first went, you probably had a shaman of some sort. Are you like now the new shaman who's basically helping people through this? Like, you have the same role as that? And besides you and your wife, how many other people is it like you doing that same type of thing?
Yeah, well, the word that we use is curandero, which is Spanish for healer, mm-hmm. which can be described as a shaman, but shaman has so many connotations with it in this kind of new age that we live in.
Yeah.
So in our two-week healing programs, we work with a great Shipibo curandero called Arias, and we have a Shipibo vegetalista called Emilio, and they lead the ceremonies and prepare plant medicines that we've just talked about on our two-week healing programs. I also work as a curandero alongside them, which means that in the ceremony, we're singing in the Shipibo lineage, which I'm trained in, the Noyarao lineage of Shipibo curanderismo, to be specific. And we are then helping others throughout the ceremony, keeping them safe, helping them to the toilet, helping them come down, helping them process things throughout the ceremony. So we are completely caring for you. We also have three assistant healers that work alongside us, and we do our very best to just create that safe, loving environment. And the feedback that we get is just that even though people have come in that were scared, people are just like, oh my, you guys have got it covered. I can relax.
Yeah.
So we just, that's the experience that we create just to help people.
That's pretty cool. And out of the, what is it? 2 weeks out of the 2 weeks that you're doing the whole process, how many of those days? So say it's 14 days. How many of the 14 days are you actually doing the ayahuasca, is it every single day for the 14 days and you're having like that 5 hour set aside or 6 hour set aside, or is it just one big trip of ayahuasca and then the other ones are kind of the other secondary, say, medicines?
No, we have six ceremonies. So you have six ayahuasca ceremonies.
Yeah.
So it's like three a week. And that is a good balance between fitting as many in as is necessary for you to get a good experience of healing. But again, you don't want to like overload the system and then just be like drinking ayahuasca every night, because we have a big focus on the integration as well, the integration of that.
Yeah. Could somebody theoretically or actually legitimately go crazy if they did take ayahuasca every day and just like lived off ayahuasca?
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be something that I would recommend. I think that same thing with, firstly, like ayahuasca and plant medicines are sacred. So going into that healing setting with the intention of I'm here to heal, to learn, to grow for my highest healing and good, to be a better person, to be more loving, compassionate, kind, whatever it is, going in with that process and then being aware that if perhaps you've got an addictive personality and that you're coming into ayahuasca to heal addictions, if you're starting to feel like you need to drink ayahuasca every day, perhaps addictions are telling you that you need to drink ayahuasca every day. So just being aware of that. And yeah, for me, it's definitely not necessary to drink every day. As training in the tradition, we have a 4-week program as well, which I lead on my own, without Arias, without Amelia, but we have our whole healing team alongside us, all of our assistant healers and the cooking staff and everyone else. Then we are teaching people how to connect with plant spirits, how to communicate with plant spirits. And we're teaching people like the Icaros, the healing songs, and that's a more in-depth process, which has fasting, which has some more isolation in that. And there we do nine ceremonies in that setting. And that's a different program. That's called a Noya Rao Initiation Theater.
Mm, nice, man. This is all so interesting, Michael. And so just kind of wrapping things up in a moment, I do want to ask you, though, kind of like quick little question. What does the actual ayahuasca taste like? I've heard people that when you drink it, might even been like Joe Rogan and one of them guys, like you drink the ayahuasca, it tastes horrible and you throw up or something afterwards, but then after that you feel great. Is it like that, or am I thinking of something? Like, what's the actual taste of it? Is it like tasty, or does it taste horrible?
It depends, really. It depends on the brew, because there's different brews. Some can taste a little bit more bitter, some can taste more sweet. The ayahuasca we have here at the minute is pretty sweet. It's not as bad as it's made out to be.
Yeah.
What kind of happens generally is people come and they're like, oh my gosh, I've heard that this ayahuasca tastes so horrible, and they drink it and they're like, that was anticlimactic, that was fine. Mm. What can kind of happen is that people have a body remembrance to the ayahuasca, and perhaps if they've had a tough experience, you kind of like relate some of that to the taste in the ayahuasca. But yeah, sometimes it can taste a little bit rough. But like the taste is gone after a few minutes. You can swill your mouth out of water, you spit it out, and the level of healing that you get when you've thrown up, there's a whole series of healings called purging, which you might be throwing up or diarrhea. That's the body actually being cleaned with the plant medicine. So you're having the cells being cleaned, the body being cleaned, the tissues being cleaned, the organs being cleaned, the mind being cleaned. So that when you describe feeling good, is it's not throwing up like, say, if you've had food poisoning or you've drank too many beers. That's like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel horrible. This is like a release. So it's like someone's had like 100 pounds on your shoulders and then you've thrown up, and then that 100 pounds has disappeared. So you can feel just lighter, and it's life-changing. Just like the amount of people that I've seen, their lives change infinitely for the better through ayahuasca and the plant medicines. It's just incredible. It's just really incredible. So for those difficult times that we go through, on the other side of that is just such an expanded and open experience that's just really, really, really immensely amazing.
Yeah, this whole thing is incredible, man. And like I said, I'm kind of on the fence with it. So maybe with a little bit more time, I'll be heading down to Peru. Because I told you before, I wanted to go down there anyways in 2020, but it kind of got, obviously with everything happening, kind of got delayed. So maybe in the next year or two, I'll shoot down there and and see what we can do. But man, it's been an awesome interview. What is and by the way, I'm very interested in the channeling aspect too. So even, you know, regardless of the ayahuasca, which is incredibly interesting and all that stuff, just the channeling aspect as well, I find to be incredibly interesting and a whole different thing as well. Maybe we can get you back on and talk more about that at some point. But just sort of wrapping up, man, what is a final send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then a place our listeners can check out your work, the website, and the programs that you offer for this?
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, I just want to say, Justin, thanks so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'd love to come back and talk more about the channeling or anything else another time. But for today, I would just say that for anyone who's struggling out there, for any man or anyone else who's listening, in fact, that's just having a hard time, just recognize that there's help available. Recognize that we have tools like ayahuasca, whether it's psychotherapy or whatever it is, that there's help available. And a big step, and sometimes it's really tough for a man to do, and I know myself, is just to say, yeah, perhaps I could use some help. So there's plenty of resources out there, and we have resources on our website, which is www.casagalactica.com, where we have our online healing sessions. So even if you're not interested in coming to hear us in the jungle, we have healing sessions that we can do remotely online on video calls, that we do a lot of our work, and we have great results. But for anyone who's suffering, remembering that love is on its way, and we're all going through big changes, and we're being challenged to question our own identities in this world that we live in here for. And I know for someone who's changed my identity over and over and over again and keep letting go, the more that we can be authentic and loving and show up as that loving man in the world, it's not a weakness. It's just a process that we're going through. And the more that we can begin to connect together and encourage the healing of others and encourage ourselves to feel these emotions and heal these emotions, then it's not going to be stigmatized. And we're just going to actually we're just going to all start feeling better. And we're all just going to start doing the things that we really love. We're going to start having the relationships that really fulfill us. We're going to start working in the jobs that we really light up when we go there. And we're just going to thank God I'm alive, rather than that kind of grind that perhaps all of us have related to sometimes. So just trust me, I was a drug addict. I was a DJ. I was doing all the things. I was living the life. I was living the kind of rock star life. And I thought that was it. And I didn't feel all the shit because I was just like in so much pain, numbing it all. And I went through an awakening process, really, really tough, really, really hard. I'd do it 100 times over if it was necessary to feel as good as I feel now. So it's available to all of us. We're here to help. Check out our website. Check out our ayahuasca plant spirit healing programs. My wife's also a great intuitive medium. We have a whole host of free content that we do. So subscribe to our newsletter at casagalactica.com. And we're here to help. And if anyone's just got a personal question for me, you can just reach out on our contact form and I'll reply as quick as I can. And if you want to have a chat with me, just reach out on the website and we can arrange a little call. So yeah, thank you so much, everyone. Super appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Really appreciate it. Guys, make sure you check it out, casagalactica.com. I'll link that up in the show notes as well so you can click on the links. Man, it's been a real pleasure having you on, Michael. Really do appreciate your time, and I learned so much personally. And I'd love to have you back on the show, so I'll have to talk to you soon, man.
Thanks so much, brother. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to come back.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.